All right, Book of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to get right in it tonight. Man, I was, nervous all day. I was like, couldn't wait to get here. No place I'd rather be. Amen. Mark chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 41. Give me a loud amen when you get there. That was a loud amen. Thank you. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name, your word come forth with power. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about being all in. Being all in. And I know some of you guys, you might watch SportsCenter, right? I've been known to watch SportsCenter till way past I should. And you know, it's the same thing over and over again. Have you ever watched a SportsCenter and then there's like another SportsCenter right after and you watch both of them? Okay, well, only me. All right, that's... maybe that's an issue that I... thank you, Kyle. Can I get another witness? Can I get two? Two, I got Sam. Three, thank you, Marcia. So, watch SportsCenter, and what blows my mind is sometimes you will see the World Championship of Poker on SportsCenter. You go to B-Dubs, right? And there's that new $4 deal. If you didn't know, $4 gets you so many boneless wings, whatever. But you go there, and sometimes... on the screens, they got basketball, they got hockey, they got all kinds of sports, and then they have poker. And you're like, what does poker have to do with sports? Right? But the one thing that I like about poker, and I don't play poker, and don't get me crazy, I'm not a poker guy, whatever, but is when they get all their chips, they get everything that they've won, everything that they have left, and they put it all in the middle. And when they put it all in the middle, it's called being all in. And what that means is that there is nothing left over. There's no going back. There's no turning back. There's no falling back. There's no any other direction. I am going all in. I believe in what this is. Right? So they look at their poker hand and they gotta have like a hand that they believe in. Right? And then, or they're bluffing, which is another story. We're not going that direction. They gotta have the confidence, right? They gotta have the faith in what they see. The faith in what they believe that they possess to put their everything into. And it's called being all in. When you look up all in the dictionary, and yeah, you might think it's two words, and it is, but I looked it up anyways, and there was a definition for it. One of the definitions is exhausted. Exhausted, like I don't have anything left. Have you ever ran so far or been so out of shape and ran not so far? That you were exhausted. On a side note, this Memorial Day, we're going on a little mini vacation to Las Vegas, right? And there's a water park there. We're not playing poker in Vegas. There's a water park there. My mom lives there. And just to let everybody know, my swimsuit body has been postponed yet another year. Yes. Amen. But exhausted. As in, there's nothing left in the tank. Anybody watch the game last night? Right? There was a basketball game, and I'm not going to bore the non-sports fans by going on too far about it. But there was a, thank you, Sister Joanne. There was a play where one of the Golden State Warriors, his name is Draymond Green, in the fourth quarter, he went up for what they call a slam dunk. Now, a slam dunk is when you get the basketball, you jump real high in the air, none of us can do it, don't even look at me, and then you slam it, right? He was so exhausted, he went up for a dunk, and the rim stuffed him. It was so embarrassing. For him, not for me. I was watching, I laughed. But why? Because it was the fourth quarter, and he was exhausted. He was at the end of it. Now, I want to talk to you about being all in for the plan of God for your life. And if I were to ask you the question, how many of you want God's provision? How many of you want God's plan? How many of you want God's purpose? The majority would say yes, right? Hands lifted high in the air, say yes. But then if I were to ask you the question, how much are you willing to sacrifice to get it? How much are you willing to sacrifice to get it? The Bible says that this widow, the Bible calls her poor, and if you look up the word there, poor, in the Greek, there's a couple different definitions of poor, but this one meant so poor that she probably had to beg. That means she wasn't just poor like, I don't have money till payday poor. She wasn't like, oh, I can't go out to eat, I got to eat at my house poor. She wasn't, I have to make myself a butter sandwich poor. Come on, somebody. It's bread, butter, bread. You didn't know what butter sandwich was. I'm talking about, she was poor, right? She had to beg. What I like about this story, it shows you a glimpse of how Jesus thinks about us. It shows us a glimpse about how Jesus thinks and his heart towards us, and when we have a heart towards him. Now, if you look at this story, it goes on. It's telling all these rich people were giving out of their abundance, right? They were coming, they were giving large sums of money. They were giving out of their abundance. And Jesus said he was opposite the treasury. He was close to the collection box, and he was observing what was going on. That tells me that this poor widow was in the position to get God's attention. She was in the position to get God's attention. She positioned herself, right? Why? Because she was going to give an offering. And you might say something like, well, how could we ever get God's attention? You might be thinking, man, I feel like I'm hiding in this church. I feel like I'm hiding at my work. I feel like I'm lost in the crowd. Listen, if you want to get God's attention, then get in position. Get in position. You know what gets God's attention? Radical faith. Radical on fire faith. And this widow had radical faith. She said she went. She didn't give out of her abundance, but she gave everything she had. She was all in with Jesus. She put all of her faith. She had nothing left over. She had exhausted everything she had. I can picture her walking up to the collection box, thinking about her life, saying, I don't want to be the same anymore. I'm tired of begging. I'm tired of being out here on the street. I'm tired of living life day after day. I got to do something different. I got to get desperate. See, that's the problem. Not a lot of people are desperate for God anymore. God's like, I'll take him or leave him. Right? Oh, I guess I'll make it to church Wednesday night. I guess I might make it Sunday. I think I can fit God into my schedule. I know I'm kind of busy. I got things I got to do. I got programs on Monday. I got playoffs on Tuesday. I got to do this on Thursday. And I got my nails did, my hair did, you try to fit God in. Listen. You can't just fit God in. You can't just fit. You got to have radical faith. You got to be desperate for God. Desperate for God's power. Get desperate for God's attention. Desperate for God's plan for your life. Desperate for the plan of God. So we get too familiar. We lose focus on God's plan. We lose focus on why we're here in the first place. I like it here. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in very small copper coins with only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you this, poor widow has put into the treasury more than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. You can look at that story and you can say to yourself, it's not about the amount, right? It's not about, you know, everybody else gave more. It's not about the amount, it's about the percent. Right? It's about the percent. See, everybody else probably gave 2%, 1%, 3%. This widow gave 100%. 100%. She gave everything. She didn't have anything left. Anything left. Some of us, like Brother Mark was saying, we came into this with nothing. We showed up to the door with nothing, with at the end of our rope, lost and broken and hurting, with nowhere to go, with nothing to hold on to, with no trust or connection with our family. We didn't have anything, but over time, God has put together, because we were desperate for God, God put our lives back together. But we got to be careful not to lose that desperateness for God. Right? We're desperate. We come up to the recovery home and you talk to Savannah or Brother Dave and you say, I need a change. Right? And then a week goes by. And then 2 weeks go by. Right? And then someone steals your makeup. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to the girls, obviously. Pastor Charles, we've seen people leave the home over a piece of bread. And it wasn't even like a new piece of bread. It was like a stale, old piece of bread. Why? Because they lose their desperateness for God. Go a month or 2 months or 6 months. Or maybe you've been in the church a year or 2 years. We can lose that. We're not desperate for God's plan anymore. Right? What do we want to do? We want to start fulfilling our plan. We start to make plans. Instead of finding God's plan for our life. Being desperate for the plan of God. She gave a 100%. She wanted to be all in. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. The Bible reads, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And I'm not speaking about just tithes and offering tonight, but I mean, if that shoe fits you, then put it on. I'm talking about being all in. Being all in this thing. Being all in, being 100%. I read a quote today that it says something about how great men aren't, great men isn't because of how talented they are. It's because of how much passion they have. How much passion they have. How much desire to fulfill the purpose that they have. You look at all the sports players, and you look at all the people doing great things and open up businesses, and they might not be the most talented. Or you see, look at all these draft day busts. Any Raider fans in the building? Just kidding. You got a clap over there. Jamarcus Russell, he said it. I didn't say it, you said it. Why? Because they lack the passion to fulfill God's plan. They lack the plan that they had to do what they had to do to be successful. You can come into the house of God and you can have gifts and talents. And the Bible says that we all have gifts and that we've all been called. And God knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb, and how he knows every single hair on our head and all these things, that we were created for a purpose. But if you lack the passion to fulfill your purpose, then you'll never do it. You'll never fulfill God's plan. Oh, our prayers guys are like, please God, I want a normal job and a normal life. Listen, I'm sorry. That's not God's plan for your life. You're not going to be a normal person with a normal job, but you are going to be called of God to do something for God. This isn't the, I called you and saved you to be normal ministry. This ain't it. This is the, I cleaned you up and I filled you with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to send you to another country. I'm going to send you to another city. I'm going to give you a minister's license and you're going to take a city for the honor and glory of God. This is about the call of God. This is about rehab or getting off drugs or getting off of a different. This is about the call of God for your life. Listen, you'll never be fulfilled. You'll never find what you're looking for away from God. You'll never find what you're looking for away from the presence of the Lord. You'll keep on trying in different things. You'll reach out and you'll try this and you'll try that and you'll stumble into new things and new hobbies and you'll do all kinds of weird stuff. I know. I thought I was going to be a professional bowler. Didn't happen. Not even close. You start collecting things on eBay and you go on Wish and Amazon and listen, it's about the call of God. It's about the call of God. What's God called you to be? Who's God called you to be? Who's God called you to reach? Listen, that's what it's about. It's not about not drinking or shooting heroin or smoking crack. It's not about any of that. It's about the call of God for your life. It's about God using you to do something for Him, something that makes a difference, something that means something. God's purpose. So one, I read the scripture, didn't say anything about it. Let's read it again. One who is faithful in a very little, also faithful in much. And I like here in the book of Luke chapter 16, it gives us a picture of what happens when we do with what God gives us in proportion of what we receive afterwards. Right? So whatever measure that we use God's gifts in, or whatever measure we give God's gifts in, is the measure that we get it back. And if He can't trust you with something little, then how is He going to trust you with much? Right? How's He going to trust you? And let's talk about financial stuff real quick. And I know it's like, you could be sick and tired of getting paid and being broke before payday. Come on, somebody. Right? I'm the only, okay, amen. I thought I was going to get at least three amens right there. But listen, if you don't want to be broke over and over again, then you got to go all in. You got to be all in. You got to say, you know what, God? I'm going to be faithful and consistent with my 10% and give over and above in my offering because I know that You are faithful to Your promises and to Your word. And I know if I'm faithful in what You give me, then You'll give me more. Right? Is this like the first time you guys ever heard this before? Listen, we say this quite often. You're like, how come they have to pick up an offering every service? Can you imagine if we didn't? I mean, if we don't get it after 1,000 times, we're not going to not get it after no times. We want you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. How do you get blessed? You get in covenant with God. You give your 10%. God fulfills His promises to you. You're faithful in the little, and He puts you master over much. Right? Write it down. Look at it once a day and just do it. You'll be blessed. Right? You'll be blessed, but not only in your financial giving. It also works in your talents and gifts. Right? So you say, I want to fulfill God's plan for my life? Well, you came into church. It might be your first or second time here. And you're saying, I just wanted to come and lift my hands and worship God. That's part of it. Worshiping is part of God's plan for your life. It's a connection that you have with Him. When you worship God, you put God to where He is. You put God in His place. You say, God, you deserve all the honor and all the glory. You make Him God and Lord and Master over your life. You put Him in full control. And when you lift your hands, you surrender to Him. And when you surrender to God, then God can use you. Right? You come in, you say, well, I just want to come sit in church. God didn't just make you to come sit in church. God made you so you could be a piece, a part in the body of Christ to fulfill a call in the body of Christ. Some of you got so many gifts, you don't even know what they are yet. You know why you don't know what they are? Because they're buried. They're buried. Right? You got buried treasure. Oh, you got gems and diamonds inside of you. Some of you can preach the gospel. Some of you can play an instrument. You don't even know you can play an instrument. You can play an instrument. Some of you can sing. So you just sing the Bee Gees in the shower. That's all you do. But you can be up on stage. Some of you don't even know who the Bee Gees are. I'm going to sing some of it. I'm thinking about it. The Bee Gees. Raise your hand if you know who the Bee Gees are. Okay, not too bad. You guys phone me back. You can phone me back because no one knew what the Bee Gees were. But the call of God. This is, some of you, if you tap into the calling of God, you're going to develop those gifts and God's going to bless you in your job. But I'm a manager in my job, right? I couldn't even manage myself before the home. I didn't know how to put myself together before. But now that God put me, He gave me a calling, a purpose, developed my gifts. Now not only am I blessed in the church, fulfilling my purpose, but I'm blessed at my job because God has developed the leadership gifts that are inside of me. Some of you got gifts inside of you, gifts that will take you way past minimum wage, way past. You guys should be technicians and have skill and trade skill and be managers and bosses at your jobs. And all you got to do is say yes to God. Let Him develop your spiritual gifts and you use them. And God will get all the glory and the honor because you'll tell your coworkers who did it for you. We look at Jonah. So, we look at the story of Jonah. You look at a person that was called by God, but then when God gave him the plan that he said no to. And that's where we find a lot of, sometimes we find ourselves. We find ourselves saying yes to God, but saying no to God's plan. Right? Say yes to God. Yes. I want to come into the recovery home. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come into the church. I say yes to God, but then when God gives us His plan, we say yes to God, but we say no to God's plan. Right? And so what happened to Jonah? So what happened to Jonah is he was a prophet of God. Right? Jonah was a man of God. But once he said no to God's plan, he got swallowed up by the big fish. Come on, somebody. Right? He was, that wasn't like the best ideal living conditions, right? I don't even like seafood, right? I'll eat shrimp and lobster tail, but that's it. I just imagine how much it stunk, right? He gets swallowed up for a length of time. There in the fish, all the things going on, his mind thinking, I thought God was with me. I thought I'm a man of God. I'm a person of God. I love God. And I'm sure he had a moment there where he said, why did God leave me? But see, God never leaves us. The Bible says He never leaves or forsakes us, right? So God never leaves us, but God puts us in a place when we say yes to God, but no to God's plan, we really say no to God. When we say yes to God, but no to God's plan, we're really saying no to God. We have to come to a place where we say yes to God and yes to God's plan for our lives. Yes to God's plan. Once he repented, even he was in the belly of the fish. He was in the belly of the well. He cried out to God. And right then and there, the Bible says that he took him and he left him right where God wanted him to be. Yeah, he threw him up and it was probably pretty disgusting. But you see, the whole time he was in the whale was swimming in the direction to where God wanted him to be. Right? And the journey was uncomfortable. And some of you here tonight, you might have been in that place where you say, yeah, I said yes to God, but I've been on this journey about saying no to God's plan, and it's been uncomfortable, and it's been messy, and it hasn't been too pleasant. It smells bad, and I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. But as soon as Jonah said yes to God, God took him. God didn't take him back to the beginning. God took him to where God wanted him to be. And some of you here tonight, I believe that you might be going around in circles. You might be not knowing where you're going, but God is going to take you right to where God wants you to be. And when you finally surrender, when you finally say yes to God, say, I want your plan, not my plan. I want your will, not my will. I don't want to do my own thing anymore. I don't want to run from you. I don't want to play part-time Christian. I don't want to play weekend warrior, but I want to be all in for God. I want to exhaust every single one of my resources. I want to be a true believer. I want to be a soldier for Christ. When you come to that place, God is going to have you exactly where you should be. And when that happens, then God is going to use you. What happened to Jonah? God used Jonah in such a powerful way right after his rebellion. Listen, you're not as far away as you think you are. Some of you think you're so far away that God will never be able to use you again. You think you've been drifting too long. Listen, you were drifting in the right direction. You were drifting, but God had you floating back to the purpose and call for your life. You're right where God wants you. All you got to do is surrender to Him. If I can get the keyboard player up tonight. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to end here. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now that you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea and to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. And see, here in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we see that there's a promise that's been given to Joshua. And it's not just Joshua's promise. It was the promise being fulfilled for Moses also. It was a continuation of a generational promise to the children of Israel. It said, I will always be with you. And you will always have the victory over your enemies. And whatever land that you set foot on that I will give to you, you will possess everything that I promised you. But then it tells them, as long as you obey. As long as you obey the commands, as long as you obey the law that I gave Moses, then you'll always have success. you always have success. As long as you commit your ways. As long as you're all in. Not halfway out, halfway in. Listen, there's a reason part-time employees don't get benefits. Because they're not all in. They're not there 100%. So they don't reap all the benefits that full-time employees get. And it's kind of like the same with Christians. That part-time Christians, they don't reap all the benefits. I'm not saying you gotta be at church 7 days a week and walk on water and your shadow heals blind people and all that. It's not a matter of where you go, it's a matter of where your heart is. It's a matter of where your heart is. And if your heart's all in, then all these promises, all these benefits, all these things that the Lord promised Moses and the Lord promised Joshua, and I believe that wrote it down here in the Bible so he could promise us that he'll be with us always. That as long as we commit our ways to the Lord, as long as we say yes to God's plan, as long as we're all in. Listen, many of you here have experienced what it means to be in and then still be out a little and then be in, and you've experienced what comes along with it. How you feel so far away from your purpose, so far away from the plan of God for your life. When you start treating your relationship with Christ like it's a long distance relationship, you feel empty in your heart, you feel disconnected. Listen to this promise that he'll be with us always. The Bible says, he says, to be strong and courageous. To fight the fight. No matter how hard we get hit, to keep on getting back up. To be all in. To say, no matter how hard I get hit, no matter what trial comes my way, no matter how hard the storm blows, that I'm going to be in this thing 100%. And then when the Lord sees that radical faith, it gets his attention. That radical faith. And he says, if this person is willing to give everything they have, then why don't I open up the floodgates? Why don't I open up the windows of heaven and give them all that I have? Listen, some of you have been coming to church maybe a couple weeks or a couple months, or maybe you're in the home and you're saying, is this thing real? Is this thing work? Maybe you've never believed before. Listen, I was an atheist. I never even went to church when I grew up. I used to be one of those people that made fun of Christians and said, you know, things. And listen, but when I experienced the power of God, when he not only opened my eyes, but he came into my heart. And I knew that there was a reason I was lost out there. There was a reason that I was lost because I didn't have Jesus. Listen, you gotta be so desperate that you realize that you're lost without Jesus. So desperate for God's plan for your life. Listen, if that's you, you just came in, you just rolled up, and you're not even sure, you're saying, does this program even work? Listen, this is it right here. God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something so amazing in your life that he'll blow your mind. He'll take you from nobody and make you a somebody. Nothing into something. Maybe you came here tonight and you're thinking, man, it's like I come to church and I'm even here on a Wednesday night. Right? You're like, I'm not just a Sunday Christian. I'm a Sunday Wednesday Christian. I'm double the Christian. Come on, somebody. What more do you want from us? Listen, he wants everything. He doesn't want you to be a person that comes to church. He wants you to be the church. This isn't where we go. This is who we are. This is who we are. The call of God. If that's you and you've been struggling with the plan of God for your life, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that you realize that God opens your eyes to how special you really are, how important that you really are, that God, that He would show you that you're not just a person that comes to church, that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that you were made in His image for a specific purpose. You can all stand to your feet tonight. Maybe you've been halfway in and halfway out. Maybe you're serving Jesus on Wednesday, but tomorrow who knows where you'll be. Listen, that's no way to live. That's no way to live. The Bible says it's better to be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, then He'll spew you out of His mouth. Listen, don't be a lukewarm Christian. Be all in. Give everything you got. I promise you this. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret giving your life to Christ. You'll never regret being all in for Christ. Because a life in Christ, a life fulfilled in Christ, is better than any life out there. If that's you here tonight and this message spoke to you, I want you to step out of your seat. Make your way to the altar. Let me pray for you tonight. My soul.